Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee with Decoder for Monday, March 27th, 2017. It's 10:10, and we are eager to get some questions answered. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Pam. Hope you're doing well today.
Thank you, I am, and I have my coffee handy, and I have some really good questions. So let's jump in. This first one is from the IRF setting, and it's from Heather. Heather says, we finally have a case with sepsis. Septic shock, if I don't fill over these words, I'm sorry. And she describes how she's put it together, and she's looking for the etiologic. The coder read through the chart and agreed with her. So we're looking at R65.21 for severe sepsis with septic shock, J80 for acute respiratory distress syndrome, and N17.9 for acute kidney failure unspecified. Is that enough, or should I give you the comorbidities?
Well, I think that's enough because it sounds like her question is about reporting sepsis as the etiologic diagnosis, and it really goes hand in hand with our ICD-10 coding rules for reporting sepsis altogether. Even though when we're reporting sepsis on a UB04 claim form for that side, for either the acute hospital or the rehab encounter, you're still going to report multiple codes for that severe sepsis. What you would report first, however, is not the R6521 for the severe sepsis with septic shock. What you would report first is the infection. And if the infection is unknown, it's A41.9, so you report the infectious organism first, and then followed by R65.21 for the severe sepsis, and then the organ dysfunction. Now, if there are multiple organ dysfunctions involved, so say, for example, the patient has, you know, severe sepsis with septic shock, and then they have acute respiratory failure, acute renal failure, so they have a couple of different organs involved, then when you're talking about the etiologic diagnosis, what I would ask you to do is to really think about, because in the definition of the etiologic diagnosis, that diagnosis can actually be resolved, but it can actually still be the condition that is causing the need for rehab. So in that case, if the patient, for example, while they were in the acute side, had acute respiratory and acute renal failure, but the acute respiratory failure is resolved, then you would report it also as that third etiologic and then report the acute renal failure as a comorbidity. So what I want to make sure that I'm being clear about here is that, you know, conditions can be resolved if they're in the etiologic, so you want to make sure and make that good choice so that any condition that's not resolved, if it is not appropriate to report or if it's, you know, more than you can report as your etiologic, that it does get reported as a comorbidity, because it will give you the ability to have tier assignment or tier diagnosis and then get an improvement in your overall reimbursement. So I hope I'm saying that clearly. If both the acute respiratory and the acute renal failure were resolved, you would report the A41.9, the R6521, which was the infection, and then the severe sepsis, and then either one of those organ dysfunctions, the respiratory or the renal failure, and then you would not report either one as a comorbidity because they were both resolved. And the conditions that we report as comorbidities have to be, you know, treated, impacting treatment, extending the length of stay, or utilizing a resource. So I hope I explained that clearly. And
Thank you. And thank you, Heather, for sending in the question. That was great. Now we have another one that's also in the – we're getting a lot of IRF questions, and that's wonderful. And we also invite your questions on other topics as well. So this one's from Becky, and she says, the physician has documented dysphagia. There were two reports of choking or coughing while eating. Speech language did modify, and dysphagia was not diagnosed, and the patient remained on a regular diet. Code and report dysphagia as a comorbidity, like a non-neuro diagnosis? So anyway, what is your thought on this response to the recommendation when the new codes are identified in rehab, they also be reported as a complication on the IRF pie, of course not the day preceding or the day of discharge?
Okay. So Pam, what I think that the question stated was actually that the physician stated the term dysphagia, and I'm just going to repeat it to make sure that I understand correctly. The physician documented the patient with dysphagia, and he also documented the patient, had choking and coughing while eating, although speech did have the patient on a modified diet. They didn't use the terminology dysphagia, if you will. So the question is, the patient, and when she says non-neurodiagnosis, I think you included in that at the end, she's meaning when patients have a stroke, of course, even if we report that dysphagia, it doesn't give you a tear opportunity. So that was the question. Do we report this dysphagia to get this tear opportunity? Okay, all right, perfect. So let me go back to square one again. So coders are taught that, like I said just a few minutes ago, that conditions that are documented by the physician, if they meet the certain criteria, meaning are they treated, do they impact treatment, do they extend the length of stay, do they utilize a resource, that we should report those conditions, and we're not going to question the physician's medical judgment. Now, I do realize there's opportunities where we might query the physician if things were unclear or if there was conflicting documentation in the record. There's a couple of things here that would probably happen in this case. And number one, coders are not typically, digging through those speech therapy notes. Not that they wouldn't from time to time. They're not typically digging through the speech therapy notes, nor do they use what the speech therapist says to report a diagnosis. They might use what a speech therapist says if they did look at it, or a nurse or any other ancillary personnel to query the physician because maybe there's some unclear statements by the physician. But we are, as coders, we're looking at what the physician documented. And it is very, very likely that most coders would report the condition of dysphagia based on that physician's statement, and also, with that added evidence of the patient being on a modified diet and choking was described by the physician. So a coder probably wouldn't question that. However, when you're looking at it from an auditing perspective, sometimes those, auditors, particularly a clinical auditor, may dig through the chart and say, "Oh my goodness, the physician is saying dysphagia, he's saying choking, but this speech therapist is not saying it." So that may cause some question, like post-pay review, but it sounds like based on what the physician's statement is making, that he or she might be able to defend that very clearly because he is showing those symptoms of true dysphagia and treatment of it. Now, let me give you another thought on this too, is oftentimes I know when I am reviewing medical records, it's very hard to decipher. They have already interpreted that, yes, there is a dysphagia, so you wouldn't, that speech therapy note, although it does, coding perspective, the coders are, therapist says for coding. Again, if you have CDI involved, they may utilize that and query the physician for clarity related to this specific case. Pam?
Yes, thank you, thank you. I've only got a minute left, and I think this question might be too much for a minute, but can I throw it out there anyway?
Yeah, sure. We can take
okay.
a couple minutes
Yeah.
more if we need
Okay.
to.
So this is another one from the IRF setting. It's from Sally. In acute inpatient coding, the personal history codes are used if they are felt to be relevant to that admission. Does rehab coding need to have all the past personal history coded, or is that just relevant to the, or only the parts that are relevant to the rehab stay?
I think that in this situation, it would be the same. Now, I do know that many, many hospitals, whether acute or inpatient rehab, they are going to report a lot of those historical conditions if the doctor identifies them, and coders are stated to, are told to, report, like say the patient had a CABG, the patient is on some type of prophylactic medication, the patient has had a history of a TIA, and it's not often that the doctor does a really good job of explaining, what the relevance is of those conditions to the current encounter. So it does happen most often that the coders are, you know, reporting those conditions, and a lot of hospitals will say, yes, we want you to report them for, you know, statistical purposes. But in this case, I would say that if it is clear and your doctor is identifying which ones do impact the rehab stay, absolutely, that goes in line with coding rules to report those conditions that do impact the encounter. So, unfortunately, it seems like a lot of times the physicians aren't that clear. So I would say, yes, the rule is consistent with the acute care rule as far as reporting those personal history of codes, or the family history of codes, or the, you know, status codes. So, yes, that would be consistent.
That was great. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We really hope that you've gotten some value out of today's lesson. We're doing this for free. Call in and join us. We're so happy that you've been able to spend this 10 minutes with us today. Do send in your questions. It doesn't have to be an ERP question. It can be any setting or auditing or whatever our experts can research. We'll be happy to participate with that for you. And if you'd like to be reminded, you can also text our number. You'll find it at aq-iq.com on the Coffee with Decoder. We look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. That will be April the 10th at 10:10. 10, 10.